Okay, we're coming to you on KURU 89.1 FM in sunny Silver City. And this is Gender Trouble. And we call it Gender Trouble because if you're born anything other than male, which there's quite a few ways of identifying other than male heteronormative, then you're very aware of gender and how gender can be a big issue in your life. So we call it Gender Trouble. And we're bringing to you, we're going to talk about with El Refugio, which is El Refugio means the refuge, and it's a refuge for, you know, domestic violence, for women who are struggling. And so we're going to talk about that today. Also, you could be listening, if you don't have your radio on, you could listen to us in gmcr.org, and you'll see three buttons to put there. The first one is donate, of course, because we need your money just to function. And the second one is stream, and the third one is archive. So if you can't make it today, go to the archives. You could listen to us tomorrow. And so, so here we're coming, and... And Jocelyn, right? Jocelyn is here from El Refugio, and she's going to talk about what they do. It's an organization that protects women and even some men that could be in situations that are dangerous, or they're being, you know, battered in a sense. There's violence. There's all kinds of things. There's psychological trauma. So, and they deal with all of this and the children that are in those kind of homes. So let's, Jocelyn, will you like introduce yourself and tell us a little bit what you do at El Refugio?
Yep. So as Susan said, my name is Jocelyn. My last name is Palmer. I'm the victim advocate at El Refugio. I help individuals obtain domestic violence protection orders. That's what my job mainly is. I also go to court with those individuals. I assist them with safety planning. I refer them to other agencies that are appropriate. So that can be New Mexico Legal Aid, HMS for counseling, or drug and alcohol counseling at, I can't think of what it's called right now, border area.
Border area mental health.
What else? I also make sure that the victims that come and see me know their rights, because that's the biggest thing. A lot of these people don't know what they're entitled to or what their rights are as far as just being treated like a person. The biggest thing I do, because I can list all of the legal things that I do, the biggest thing I do is I'm just a person that listens.
Yeah, wonderful.
That's really what these victims need, is somebody to just listen to them, because not all the time do I get somebody that comes into my office that's ready to leave, that's ready to do that protection order. Sometimes I just listen to what they're going through. After they're done venting, they go home. And maybe I'll see them again in a couple months when they are ready.
Yeah. Sometimes they need to be heard to know if their situation is their fault. I mean, I can't tell you how many victims think they caused the problem.
Exactly.
And they think it's their fault. And sometimes if they come in and talk to you, they could go, oh, I see. This is not a normal situation where I get battered. That's not normal. Guys aren't supposed to do that. So you provide an amazing service for this tiny little town of Silver City.
Yeah.
Actually, you're 10,000, but I think it's small.
So speaking of services, can you tell us more about other services that are offered at El Refugio?
Yes, so El Refugio also offers our 24/7 emergency shelter for victims fleeing from domestic violence and seeking safety. We have the Victim Advocacy Department, which I've already kind of gone over, which is what I do, is I'm just helping them with a lot of that legal side of stuff, dealing with the courts, getting their paperwork together, stuff like that. we have the rapid rehousing program that through grants, we are able to help a lot of our clients find housing and help them pay for that, I believe, for up to 2 years.
Wow,
that's incredible.
We have the DVOTI program, which is state certified and facilitated treatment intervention program for men and women. We offer play therapy for children of domestic violence and sexual violence. That's pretty much our services. Yeah. We are looking for an adult counselor right now. That position is open. And that position can be found on Indeed, or you can come to our office at 800 South Robert Street or call us at 575-538-2125 to get some more information about that counselor position. The counselor we're looking for will have to work with survivors of domestic violence and sexual violence. It is only 26 hours per week, and they must have a master's degree.
In counseling.
In counseling, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I want to ask you, do most of the women that look for help, do they have children, or are there single women who are caught in a situation and they're afraid to get out of?
I'd say it's probably about 50-50.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, so Renee has a list here, but I just jumped ahead.
So how many staff members does El Refugio have right now?
Well, funny story, I had to go to our little board that has everybody on it and count it today. We have 17 staff members.
Oh, wow.
Majority of those are shelter staff employees because the shelter is open 24/7, 365 days a year. The shelter is never closed unless we are empty and it's just really, really bad weather. We won't make shelter employees come in, but we will have, you know, a number they can call. They can usually call dispatch, and dispatch will get a hold of us and let us know that somebody's there, and we can then go over there and let people in.
Okay.
But somebody is there 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so nobody's alone there.
No, nobody's alone, and somebody is always there to take crises in.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And somebody's there to help take care of people that are staying there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So where are we, Renee?
We are on number 5, and you were the one that came up with that question, so maybe you want to ask it. It's number 5.
Okay. On the average, how many families a month or individuals do you use your services?
So on average, we can help upwards of 50 to 60 families a month.
Wow. But they don't all come to stay there.
No, they don't all come to stay, and they're not all there at once. Sometimes we have families that are there for 2 days.
Yeah.
But in that 2 days, we can help them with a lot. We can help them with that safety planning, the, you know, a lot of it is mostly the safety planning is what we're doing those first few days.
And being supported. Like, they're talking to somebody the first time that listens to them. I mean, they've been gaslighted.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what it's like to be in a situation where somebody's gaslighting you and you think you're the problem and you're causing it and it's not at all. You've been gaslighted.
Yeah. The common theme I hear usually after the first night's stay is, I haven't slept this well in months.
Wow. Yeah.
Because they were in a safe environment where they could just lay down and go to sleep and not have to worry about what's next.
Yeah.
What am I waking up to?
Yeah. Yeah. Because they carry a burden on, you know, let me quickly explain gaslighting. Gaslighting is when somebody makes you feel like you don't trust your own feelings about a situation. They make you feel like maybe I'm thinking about it wrong, or you feel like, well, he hit me because I did it. I caused him to do that or something. You know, gaslighting means you're blaming, a person makes you blame yourself for something that they did. You didn't do it, but you take on that blame. And there's a lot of people who do gaslighting, and it's really, you help them recognize it. That's one of the things you would do if they come in and talk to you. You could help them recognize that what they're a victim to somebody making them feel like they're the problem. Yeah. So,
can you tell us more about the DVOTI program and maybe some statistics, success rates about it?
Yeah. So first of all, I will explain what DVOTI stands for.
Great.
It stands for Domestic Violence Offender Treatment Intervention. It is a 52-week state-certified court-ordered program that is based on behavior change and accountability. Offenders ordered to the program consist of men and women in Grant County and Hidalgo County. The facilitator provides groups and individual sessions. Reports are made to the courts on attendance. So if somebody's not attending, that gets reported to the court. Or if they are attending and doing really good, that's reported to the court. Referrals are made by probation, parole offices, and the district attorney's office, and anybody else that's authorized to do that. Some of the statistics we briefly talked about this morning, just to not talk your guys' ear off about it, is the state of New Mexico's success rate is 60%.
Wow.
El Refugio is way above that with an 81 to 96% rate in reducing recidivism, which is if they reoffend.
Yeah, that's remarkable because recidivism is so common in so many things, especially our prison system.
Yeah, over the past 8 years, the program reduction rate has increased from 81 to 96, so we kind of stay in there. Right now, we're holding at 91%. The stats for offenders are 80% male and 20% female. The reason we're kind of looking at that low number for females is it's a lot less common to be reported.
Yeah, I see.
It's really underreported, and statistically, men and women abuse equally.
Yeah.
There is no one is worse than the other. It's just we're looking at an underreporting issue.
Well, there's so many ways to abuse besides physically. I mean, there's psychological abuse, and sometimes that can be more damaging than physical abuse, because physical abuse, you can kind of get over it or heal or whatever, but that psychological abuse becomes internalized, and and that makes it very difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
So.
So in that program, do the offenders basically unlearn the behaviors that they're doing to abuse?
Yes. So I can't say all of them. And it's, that's essentially what it is. They're trying to teach them better ways to cope with their anger versus being abusive because they don't know what to do with it, because that's probably what they watched happen as a child. And that's why helping the kids when they're at their very little tender ages is important, because we don't want them to grow up and offend or grow up and become victims because they think that that's okay because they watched it.
Right.
Yeah. Let's come back to this. This is important, but it's 15 after the hour, and we're going to do a station break. We're coming to you in sunny Silver City, KURU 89.1 FM on your dial. Or it's gmcr.org if you have a computer. So just put that in and click on it, and boom, here you are on GMCR and gmcr.org. And you could, you listen to it. It says streaming, or it says donate, or it says go to the archives. And So, listen to us. Okay, I think we did it. Do you have something to say, Renee?
Yes, and we, KURU, is also participating in Give Grandly this year again. And it's going. The main event is going to be on Saturday, this Saturday, May 4th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And also, we are already accepting donations. And, you know, the station really relies on donations from our supporters, because, you know, everyone is, it's very expensive to run this radio station, and everyone is volunteer except for Marcus Hansen. And so we just wanted to remind you all that we are participating.
Yeah, and El Refugio will have a booth there, so, seek them out, and you could also, besides to give them oodles of money, which they need, you could ask them whatever question you want. And if you have something like personal to ask, I'm sure one of them at the booth may take you aside and give you some information that you need. And here's the thing about Give Grandly. The first $500 donation is matched. So there's going to be How many nonprofits will be there?
I think somewhere around 60.
I was going to say 60 or something. And they're all worthwhile, every one of them. I go every year, and I want to make sure that everybody gets up to their $500 so that they can be matched. That's real important. So our radio station will be there. So we want to think about that. We could use the money, and we want you to match our, you know, give enough so we get matched on that $500. And so we're talking about with El Refugio now, but we're going to talk about Give Grandly more, because everybody there is a wonderful nonprofit program, and they all do so much good. And I'm going to be sitting at the booth of Silver City Community Theater. And so you could talk to me, you know, at that booth. And I might be even at GMCR booth. So let's go back to the discussion, because I could just talk away. So where are we at? We talked about success rate.
Would you want to talk about what types of things the donations from Give Grandly will go towards?
Ooh, yeah. Nice question.
So our donations for Give Grandly go directly to our, not directly, but kind of indirectly, I guess, to our survivors, either in shelter, or sometimes we can help people that aren't in shelter. With the clients that are in shelter, it helps a lot with getting their birth certificates, getting their clothing, school supplies for the kids. Sometimes we have people in shelter that need specific things for work. Sometimes we need scrubs or just a specific shirt for work. We can then get those things for those clients. We can get them car batteries or any other basic necessities that they might need while they're with us and after they're with us.
So if somebody wanted to donate continually, like set up a monthly donation to El Refugio, can they do that?
Yes. Yes, they can. I'm not quite sure what it is that we use, but if they stop by the booth on Saturday, I can have that information, or someone else can. Or it can be as simple as bringing a cash donation every month, or bringing a check every month. Or another thing we'll have at our booth will be our wish list, which has a bunch of things listed on it that we could always use for our clients.
So what about on the website? Is there, when you go to your donate button on the website, I assume you have one?
Yes.
If you don't, get one.
I believe we do have one.
Okay, so under the donate button, maybe there's a thing about monthly donations.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good way. That's how I do it. You know, I go and it says monthly, and I I don't have a lot of money, but I set up, like, I believe in tithing. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to tithe, and some people tithe to the church, but I tithe to my community. And so if you, you know, if $10, say it's $10, if it's drawn out of your bank and you don't see it, and so it's not, you don't, $10, you hardly miss it, right? But it means a lot to where that $10 goes. So there's a lot of programs, and you're going to see at Give Grandly this Saturday at the, what's it called?
Main Street Plaza.
Main Street Plaza, kind of behind Adobe Springs.
Yeah.
And all those groups do good things. And so pick and choose, but think about sending $5. I send $5 to Wikipedia. They're nonprofit. How many people know that? You know, we all use Wikipedia all the time, and we never think about, well, they could, they're nonprofit. Mm. They need some help, you know. So you don't have to send a lot. You know, you can send $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month to a lot of these great organizations. And right now we're talking about El Refugio, who does so much to help our city in domestic violence. So try to come visit Roslyn at the booth.
Jocelyn,
sorry. Well, I think of the, you know, is it Taming of the Shrew? Who's Roslyn? I think of a Shakespeare play. So anyway, ignore me. Okay, let's go back to Jocelyn. And so and then, you are participating in Give Grandly, and you will be there. And here's a big old question. Is the shelter open to men?
Yes. So our shelter is open to everyone, regardless of gender, age, sexual orientation. We're not going to judge you on any of that. All of our staff works really, really hard to ensure we have a welcome and comfortable space for everyone, no matter what. So it could be a man by himself. It could be a man with his children. It could be a woman by herself. It could be a woman with her children. Or it could be any gender.
Yeah. Nice.
That's good to know, because I think a lot of people don't realize that it's open to men as well. I'm one of those people that didn't realize. So I'm glad that we're talking about this and that it is open to men, because men do experience domestic violence as well.
Yeah. So even in the back, we have a restroom that's completely dedicated. So if we do have a man in there that, you know, he's got his bathroom that's for him. Nobody's going to run into him in the bathroom. He's not going to run into anybody else in the bathroom. And that kind of helps, because a lot of people, when they do think of it, they go, oh, well, what's your bathroom situation? What am I sharing a room with this person? And no, nobody shares a room unless you came in together.
I see, yeah. So what about, so if it's open to men, I go, well, what about an offender? They're not allowed in, right?
No.
I mean, I'm sure there are offenders who say, I need help. I mean, I can't believe I did what I did. What happens to them?
So they're not allowed into the shelter, but we can refer them to possibly other shelters if they're needing shelters, such as the Spin Shelter in town. I think right now they're closed due to renovations, but we do refer out. We don't just leave anybody stranded. If somebody calls and say they need help, obviously, if they're an offender, most times I know they're an offender, especially if their victim has come and seen me for a protection order or just to talk, because I keep everybody's name, and usually I'm pretty good at remembering everybody. So when they say their name, I can usually go, oh, okay, I know who this is. I can't help you, but here is somewhere that can help you.
Yeah, so if the man is an offender and he's asking for help, Does he get in trouble with the law? Is there something like that can happen? Like, or maybe something really did happen, but he wants help. Is that a legal thing, or it depends?
I think it would just depend. And as far as me being able to help them, I won't be able to because it's a conflict of interest.
I see, yeah. So, but there is somebody to help in that situation. That's why you need a counselor. That's why you need another counselor. Yeah. Okay, and where are we at, Renee? Where are we at?
Is there anything you wish people understood about domestic violence?
Yeah, so domestic violence affects 1 in 3 women, 1 in 4 men every year. Intimate partner violence accounts for 15% of violent crime yearly. On average, 20 people per minute are abused by an intimate partner. So if you think of that, that's about 100,000 people a year, I think.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. Yeah.
It can happen to anyone. It doesn't just affect one demographic. I know it can kind of be looked at as like this certain group of people are the people that get abused, but it happens to everybody. Doesn't matter. Domestic violence doesn't discriminate. And I think the important thing is if a family member or a friend confides in you what's happening to them, to listen to them and take them serious, and from there to start trying to help them. Just because someone is appearing to be happy and smiling all the time, once they confide in you this information about these things that are happening to them, it's important to take it seriously. Just because on the outside they're this happy-go-lucky person, we don't know what happens when they go home behind those closed doors.
Right.
A lot of people and a lot of victims, and Susan said this at the beginning, feel ashamed and feel embarrassed because of their situation, even though it's nothing due to them. It's not their fault that this is happening to them. And I really want to stress to not give up on them, because it's not always easy. You know, you get that one victim-blaming statement. Why don't you just leave?
Yeah, that's a big one. Everybody says that, and they don't understand the dynamics of what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. It's that, why don't you just leave? It's not always that easy. It's really hard to overcome after being gaslit for so long, and sometimes you're in this weird trauma bond state, and you know, it's difficult. Sometimes you don't have the money to leave. You don't have the means, the where to go, especially if this abuser has moved you from here to there and you have no family. You've been cut off. And, you know, you have to find that resource before you can go.
Yeah, and it's a scary situation where a man may control the money. And the woman becomes extremely dependent, and they become afraid there's nowhere they could go, and then the man can make threats, well, I'll track you down if you leave, and there's some pretty scary situations that people get into, but if you just met them on the street, you wouldn't know they're in those scary situations, and so it's really important that everybody out there is aware El Refugio is in Silver City, and they're here to help. And, hey, let me ask you, how long has El Refugio been here?
We actually need to take a quick station ID break, so you can think about that for a sec. So you are listening to KURU 89.1 FM in beautiful downtown Silver City. You can also stream us on the web at gmcr.org, and you are listening to Gender Troubles. And we are, KURU is also participating in Give Grandly again this year. And we would appreciate your support. Come see us at our booth and also visit El Refugio at their booth on Saturday, May 4th, this coming Saturday, from 10 to 2 p.m. at Main Street Plaza.
Very good. Yeah. So where are we at?
So we were actually getting into the next question. And that question is, what is the most dangerous time for a victim of domestic violence?
So the most dangerous time is leaving. So that brings us back to that, you know, that statement. Why don't you just leave? Because it's dangerous. Because it's hard. That most dangerous time is when they're trying to leave. And a lot of victims have already been told, if you leave, I'm going to kill you. If you leave, I'm going to hurt your family. Or things along those lines. And that victim is terrified of those threats becoming her or his reality. And sadly, that's usually when an abuser is going to escalate their violence. Because all domestic violence is about power and control. And the second that victim tries to regain their power and leave that abuser, and they're losing that power, they're going to escalate that violence.
Yeah.
And it usually, sadly, it doesn't end well sometimes. Statistics show that women are 70% more likely to be killed in the 2 weeks after leaving their abuser than the entire time of that relationship.
Wow. Yeah, well, I know that when somebody is used to power and it's thwarted, they strike out, and it's a scary time.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Do you ever get, like, kids that come to you from their parents, like their parents are in this horrible situation, and say an older child looks you up and comes and said, I need help?
So I have done quite a few school events where I get to talk to, like, middle schoolers and high schoolers. And, you know, during breaks, during the events, I've had teenagers approach me and kind of ask me questions. They don't go too deep into it because, you know, they're kids. They don't want mom or dad to get in trouble. They don't want to get in trouble. So they just kind of ask questions, and I do make it a point to tell kids they can always come and talk to me, and we can figure out what we can do to take steps.
Because there's legal things involved, like the parents still have control over kids. And isn't that one of the things that happens when the police interfere or they answer a domestic violence call? Sometimes the two of them together will stand together against the police.
Yeah. And the most honest witness you're probably ever going to have is a child most of the time.
Yeah. If you could talk with a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's such a scary situation.
Would pregnancy be a dangerous time for a victim as well?
Yes, because you're very vulnerable. You're in a vulnerable state, and sometimes pregnancy has been used as an abuse tactic. Maybe that abuser got their victim pregnant because they knew that would make it even harder for them to leave. I have seen women that have a few kids, and they've come in and told me, well, this is what he does. He gets me pregnant because he knows it makes it harder for me to leave. That or they withhold medical care, so these women can't go and get the things they need during pregnancy or to prevent pregnancy. But yes, pregnancy is very dangerous.
Yeah. Wow. It's a tough situation. I have to say, I'm a person who grew up in an abusive situation. And I have a lot of empathy for the victims of domestic violence and just gratefulness for El Refugio to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And so where are we at now?
We here? Actually only have a couple of questions left.
Oh, we could talk.
Yeah.
We could just be random.
And it's number 12, Susan, if you want to ask that one, because you came up with that one as well.
Oh, where does the food come from for the shelter? That's another, besides that question, where does money for the shelter come from?
So everything is grant-based. And I did have, because I did not know where our food came from. I was going to be a smart aleck and be like Walmart. I don't know. But I did do my homework. I asked. So it's actually a fund from CYFD called the Family Nutritional Program. And we also have unrestricted funds, which might be funds we get from GiveGrandly, that help us purchase items that are not eligible under the nutrition program. We also have a few other grants and stuff that we can use, or donations that we can use. And yes, the food usually comes from Walmart, which they just they have a menu in the back that's made each week that the clients, you know, they can help cook, or the shelter staff helps cook for them. But I do believe they have to have a certain menu that they make every week that they go through, and then they kind of follow that so that they know the meal plan for the week, and they go ahead and order groceries for the week.
Yeah, who does the grocery shopping?
It's usually our daytime advocate. Her name is Lisa, and she will be with me on GiveGrandly Day this Saturday from 10 to 12.
So how are the meals? Do you eat them?
I've never ate them, but they made a roast tonight that looked and smelled fantastic.
Wow. Okay. So you think they have good meals?
Definitely. Everybody's definitely eating well.
Yeah. Great. That's really great.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's a big one. So who does your grant writing?
That would be our executive director, Rachel Sierra. She has been running away from us to write her grants lately because she says we bug her too much.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm glad she's, you know, getting to relax while she does all this hard work lately. And she does a fantastic job. She finds all these grants that help us run and help us be able to have everything we need for our clients, have everything we need as staff. And she's, our director is fantastic. She really is.
Wonderful. So that's one, like, to keep something, a place like El Refugio open, then grants are absolutely necessary, right? Do you get any money from the state?
Yes. So that is one of our grantors, is we get state funding and I believe federal funding, both.
Oh, I see. But that actually comes through a grant. Like, you have to write and ask for it.
Yes.
Every year?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Seems like it'd be automatic because you're so necessary for our community. But, yeah, so every year you have to, like, beg for funds.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, can you tell us how people can reach you all at El Refugio?
Yes. So we have our phone number, which is 575-538-2125, or our toll-free number, which is almost the same number, but it's 1-888-538-2125. Someone is always at the shelter 24/7 for calls. That, or they can come to the offices or the shelter themselves at 800 South Robert Street here in Silver City. We also have our Facebook page. It is El Refugio Inc. Casa Carmel, which is what the shelter is actually called.
Okay.
Or our webpage, which is www.eritt www.jocelynmcdv.org.
And we'll go over that again towards the end. So people, if you didn't have a pen or a pencil handy, something to write with, we'll go over that again at the end of the show. Or you can go to our archives and replay the show.
Yeah, that's one way. If you don't get this down, go to the archives. I never thought of to tell people to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long have you worked at El Refugio?
I hit my 1 year mark in January.
Wow. So you're kind of new and learning like crazy?
Yes, definitely. I have my job, I think, pretty down pat. But I'm going to try and learn the other departments. That way, you know, you can never learn too much. Somebody's going to have an off day. Somebody's going to have a day they can't come to work. And if I can help out in that department, by all means, I would love to be able to do that.
Do you ever go to court with somebody?
All the time. And actually, since the judge that was attacked in Nevada, they have changed all DV hearings to DV, domestic violence hearings, to virtual. So all of our hearings are held virtually over Google Meet. So usually the clients come to my office and we do the hearings there now. That happened, it went into effect, I want to say about 2 or 3 months ago. But before that, it was all in person, and I went every single time.
Wow.
Do you know any more details about the situation with the judge being attacked? Was it an offender that attacked him? Or?
I think so, from what I read on it, but I didn't really go too far into it.
Okay.
I believe he was being sentenced for criminal charges, and he jumped over the podium and landed on top of her. Of the judge.
Oh.
Wow.
So the Supreme Court made a ruling that all DV hearings, if possible, be held virtually instead of in person, just for the protection of, you know, court staff and victims, all, everybody in the courthouse.
Right.
So I would imagine that the victims feel a lot more comfortable when they're pretty safe behind closed doors.
Definitely. I've had a lot of people say that they really like doing it virtually because they get to kind of, they've already been in my office. So my office, they already know as a safe space and a calm space. And every time I tell them, hey, you know, it's going to be virtual. You can just come into the office. We can do it in here. We could do it together. I see like a wave of relief. Because that was a big obstacle for a lot of women doing these protection orders is they knew they were going to have to go to court and sit next to this person in court.
Yeah, right. Well, it's kind of like rape victims having to go to court and confront their attackers.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And so this makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah.
They should do that with rape victims instead of having to confront the person physically right there. Mm. Yeah.
It's about that time, Susan, to do a station ID. You want to take this one?
Telling me to do a station ID. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do because we're here on KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City. And Silver City is one of the few small towns that has a community radio. And it's been... Well, I can't tell you. It's been here as long as I can. Well, years and years, right? Mm-hmm. Community radio, way before COVID. You know, that's going to be the new landmark before or after COVID.
Isn't it something like 10 years?
Probably quite a lot, yeah.
I think I've heard that number.
Yeah, Kyle, I lost his last name. But Kyle was so instrumental in creating the station. Kyle Johnson.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, he really was instrumental in getting this up and running and doing all kinds of work and managing it for a long time. And I'm always appreciative of what goes into creating a radio station where we could have an interview like this. So did I say that you could stream us on how does it go?
GMCR.org.
GMCR.org. Hey, I'm getting up there where my brain has gaps in it. GMCR.org, and just, you know, type it into your search engine, and you could, the page will come up, and you could stream what we're saying right now, or stream tomorrow, stream next week. Yeah. You could listen to this often as you want. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And also you could donate. Right above it's a donate button. And everybody on this show works free. I mean, we all donate our time, and it brings radio, beautiful music, live music, music you don't get to hear other places. You get to hear talk shows. You get to hear, you know, Democracy Now!, which follows this show. And you know, great, huh? Great, cool beans.
Yes.
And so let's go. But did I leave anything out?
We're also participating in Give Grandly again this year. And the main event is going to be this coming Saturday, May 4th, from 10 to 2 p.m. at Main Street Plaza, downtown. That's behind Adobe Springs. And Refugio is also participating in Give Grandly. Do you want to remind the people what those donations will go towards?
Yeah, so those donations that come to El Refugio go towards our clients. That can help get our clients clothing, stuff they may need for work, school supplies for the kiddos, clothes for the kiddos, any necessities they may need along the way, birth certificates, any other more documentation that they may need while they're with us, so that we can set them up to go and, you know, live a healthy life after they leave us. It can also get just odds and ends for clients that they may need, like car batteries or trying to think of something else that we may have helped mm-hmm. with recently. I know we did help with a car battery.
Wow. those can be expensive.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, because we're just kind of like, we have about 10 minutes more and we're just... Now we've asked all of our formal questions. I want to ask you again to repeat. What is, a woman comes to you with or without kids and she really needs your services. What's the success rate that she's given the confidence to move on and have her own life and break that fear and dependency that she had on her husband or partner or whatever? What's the success rate?
I want to say for me personally, my success rate, let's see. This month alone, I did, I believe, 9 protection orders. And I think all but 2 of my women went through with them.
Wow. Yeah. So 2 went back.
2 did go back. And I do. I have a couple clients that I see every couple months or so. They'll come in. And for me, that's great because I get to see that they're okay still.
Yeah. So the more they come in, right, the more they try, the better their chance of success.
Yeah. So statistically, women are going to leave 1 to 7 times.
Yeah. Well, that's the exact same figures as quitting smoking.
Yeah.
They say that the more often you try to quit smoking, the better your chance of success. And so a lot of people, on the 7th or 8th time that they say, okay, now I'm going to quit, they end up being able to do it because they've been that determined to keep trying. And so that's sort of a magical figure, 7 to 8. Mm-hmm. And it's nice. So when somebody comes to you, you know, well, we got a good chance. Let's not, you know, let's be patient. Let's not get too discouraged if they go back because, mm-hmm. you know, you're always there.
And yesterday we were talking about, when we were preparing for today, about if a victim doesn't leave by the seventh time, they're likely to not.
It's really likely that if that victim does not leave, that they either just stay and they live through the domestic violence, or they unfortunately don't live through the domestic violence and they wind up being murdered by their offender. Or there's the possibility that they commit suicide due to just the pressure and everything of going through the domestic violence.
Right. So how often do you think that domestic violence ends up with murder?
Well, we do a celebration every October called Remember My Name. And thankfully, last year, we did not add a new name to the list.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's like, you know, Transgender Day of Remembrance.
Okay.
When we name all the names that have been killed that year, or maybe more. I mean, it's quite a few, so it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, we go through and we remember all the men and women and children through the years that have been killed in our area due to domestic violence, and we all thought it was really fantastic that we didn't add a new name.
Yeah.
So when you have that celebration, do people that have been successful come to it?
Yes. We have people or families that have been successful in leaving. We have the families of the victims that come to the celebration, and we honor those families. Last year we came up with a new theme, because I am a little against balloon releases.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
So we came up with a new thing where we bought different colors of sand and a jar that the victims' families could pick a color of sand and pour it into the jar, and we called it the Sands of Memories.
Uh-huh.
And the family got to keep a little keepsake bottle of the color of sand they poured, and then we now use that jar of sand as a centerpiece in our conference room.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And we will continue to do that.
Yeah, that's pretty clever. Yeah, there's a big problem. People are finally becoming aware of balloon releases. It's a little aside, but, you know, I've seen stuff where a lot of animals get caught in a balloon, they swallow a balloon, they especially sea animals, they could, you know, ingest it thinking it's something else, and then it messes their intestinal system up. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I do too. I have a question.
Yeah.
So it's obvious to me that you're really passionate about what you do. Where does that inspiration come from? Like, what inspired you to do this kind of work?
Personal experience.
Wow.
I was a victim of teen dating violence, and I also witnessed domestic violence growing up. And my grandma told me about it, because my grandma grew up really hard. You know, different times, things were not as looked at, as I'm sure Susan knows. It was different.
Yeah.
Nobody paid attention to it. It was not as, I don't know.
A lot of victim blaming.
A lot of victim blaming, and just kind of not as taboo to go home and slap your wife or something. You know, it was common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tricky thing. Yeah. And, I'm glad it's all coming out and people are talking. The biggest thing is to be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's what one of the things, like you said, people come and talk. And speaking in schools would be so important, because kids at school need to know that somebody's aware that things aren't right.
Yeah. And they need to, the kids at school need to know that even if they're seeing it and they're witnessing it, there has to be somebody to tell them that that's not okay. That's right. Not the way to live. That's not a thing to continue to do. We have to talk to the kids so that, you know, like I said, they don't become offenders and they don't become victims because they're watching this at home. Because, like I said, I grew up watching this domestic violence situation between my parents. Very rarely was it physical, but it was very mental. It was very verbal. And as Susan said, that verbal is kind of worse. And then as a child, you're constantly hearing that screaming and yelling and fighting, and you become kind of used to it. Even as an adult, I like sound when I sleep because I was used to sleeping through chaos, essentially. And then I grew up to be a teenager and got in this relationship with an older boy that I thought was okay. And then that's when the violence slowly started to happen. And I didn't know there was resources.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was people to talk to. I didn't know there was things to do. And in a way, I thought, well, I watched this, so it must be okay. And then a lot of things on TV even you associate.
Well,
and you're
I was
like,
going to bring that up. You see a lot of domestic violence on TV, but they just, there's not a, like, they, kids could watch that and think that's the way men treat women. And it's not the way men should treat women. I mean, it's not right in any manner whatsoever. And so, yeah, that I'm familiar with that. And yeah, it's just one of those things that we have to really learn to recognize, deal with, talk. We need to talk about it more. That's why I love this show, because we get to talk about things that people like to sweep under the rug, but it's really something that happens.
Can we go over the contact numbers again real quickly for anyone that missed it the first time we did it? How do you reach El Refugio?
Yes, of course. So you can reach us at El Refugio by calling 575-538-2125 or our toll-free number at 1-888-538-2125. Someone is available 24/7 at the shelter. We are also located at 800 South Robert Street here in Silver City. We also have our Facebook page, which is El Refugio Inc., Casa Carmel, or our webpage, www.eridv.org.
Well, thank you. And what time do we have?
We have a couple of minutes.
We have 2 minutes. Renee, go for it. 2 minutes. What are you going to say?
Well, Jocelyn, thank you so much for being on the show. You did amazing. And you taught us so much. And is there anything else that you would like to add?
Check on your friends. Check on your friends. Especially those strong friends. Check on your strong, happy, smiling friends.
If you have, if you're suspecting, like you think something not might not be right, you know, don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
You know, start a dialogue. I mean, but people, a lot of times, people really don't talk about it because they're ashamed and they're afraid.
And if you don't know how to ask your friends, call me and I will help you ask your friends.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we're about out of time. Thank you again, Jocelyn, for joining us and teaching us all that you taught us and for doing the work that you do. It's very important. Thank you.
Thank you guys for having me.